It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Hour number 3 of The Drive, quitting time on your Friday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell and Bear with you for another 60 minutes of The Drive live here on Fan Run. And we start today with the Top 5 at 5. NCAA tournament, round one continuing. And if I can get my score machine to update here, don't want to give old scores here, do we, Bear? They're at the half, Creighton up by 2, 28-26 on NC State. 11 seed Pitt up 30-23 on 6 seed Iowa State. And they are just underway in the West region. 4 seed UConn down by 1 against 13 seed Iona. Rick Pitino and the Gaels up 18-17 there. A lot of people have
the Gaels
an upset. Yep, I believe they're the Gaels. Or is that St. Mary's? I might be mixing that up.
I'm not sure. I just always thought the Gaels was a kind of a cool NCAA tournament nickname.
Michigan State won earlier today in a 7-10 matchup, 72-62 over USC. Xavier survived a scare against 14-seed Kennesaw State. Kennesaw led most of that game. They end up losing to Xavier by 5, 72-67. Baylor ran by UC Santa Barbara, 74-56. 5-seed St. Mary's beating 12-seed VCU, 63-51. 2-seed Vermont running away from 15-seed 2-seed Marquette running away from 15-seed Vermont, 78-61. Number two, round two, Tennessee Duke tomorrow, 2:40 p.m. tip-off in Orlando. We will be hosting a fan-run watch party at Craven Wings in Choto, South North Shore Drive out west. Come on out and see us. We are looking forward to seeing you and watching the game. We are 1-0 fan-run watch parties at Craven Wings. So come on out, see us out there. Should be a lot of fun as Tennessee trying to spring the upset. They're a 2.5-point underdog against Duke, the 5-seed, a 4-5 matchup, and it's kind of a toss-up right now. We're trying to talk ourselves into it here this afternoon on The Drive. Bear, are you there yet?
Oh, I've been there. I've talked myself into anything. This team plays up to talent. We played our best basketball against the top teams. These guys are uber talented, but also freshmen in their first NCAA tournament. We've got veteran bigs who are physical. Most of the guys on our, that they'll see tomorrow will be playing professional basketball either at a high level in Europe, South America, maybe for Vescovy, and possibly the NBA for a couple of these guys.
Number three, things not going swimmingly in Columbia, Missouri for the baseball Vols. 5-0 Mizzou in the top of the fourth inning there. Chase Dolander got lit up pretty good today, Bear. Worried about that going forward? I mean, obviously worried about this game, worried about this series, but, we talked about it there with Logan. Our guy Dolly has gotten – he's struggling out of the gates in pretty much all of his starts so far this year.
I mean, this is the first one where he got roughed up, dude, and he's pitching in. What's the weather in Columbia like right now? Hold on, look it up. I want to know exactly. I'm not gonna start going in on Dolander.
I'm not going in on him. I'm asking, are we worried?
No, we're not.
Okay,
because right now it's cold and cloudy and kind of rainy. It's just an ugly day. Tomorrow's going to be really cold.
All right. Well, see if Tennessee can get back in this thing. Don't want to start off losing a series against one of the not so great teams of the league. Number four, ETSU is finalizing a deal to make Wake Forest assistant Brooks Savage its next head coach.
Was he on Forbes' staff when he was at ETSU?
Yes, and he was on Bruce's staff here. He's the guy.
Really?
He was really sharp. He was an up-and-comer. He's the guy who started the Outlive thing with Chris Lofton.
Is this somebody we should keep an eye on as Tennessee fans?
I mean, I guess he is part of the family. Did he walk on at Tennessee and play here? I can't remember.
No.
But yeah, he's followed Forbes around. He was two-season an assistant at Chattanooga, one at Presbyterian, got his start as an assistant coach under Forbes at Northwest Florida State College, and now he's replacing Desmond Oliver, who replaced Shea, who replaced Forbes.
He
so
was.
ETSU just can't get away from the Tennessee tree.
Yeah, he was much like Bruce Pearl. He was student manager for the team. I don't know.
Brooks Savage.
Waterboy / student manager.
Maybe that's the guy.
Is
maybe
Waterboy
that's the heir apparent?
Is that a derogatory term? I think it's got some kind of negative connotations to it.
What?
Waterboy.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a manager. He managed.
Yeah.
Little respect on his name. Maybe, I mean, Barrett, you know, let this guy go get his feet wet. Maybe he sets the world on fire there, fixes ETSU after they had a rough go over under Des Oliver. If he fixes them, wins big, plays an exciting brand of basketball, Rick Barnes, 4 or 5 more years here at Tennessee.
Boom. Shakalaka.
Bring Brooks Savage home. I'm not advocating that right now. He's obviously got a lot to prove, but
Brooks Savage.
It is a cool name, isn't it?
Yeah. Coach Savage.
One of our own.
I mean, it'd be cool. I mean, regardless, congratulations on the opportunity. Yeah. Good luck, and we'll be rooting for you.
And finally, number 5, moonwalking astronauts will have sleeker, more flexible spacesuits.
I saw this.
Different sizes when they step onto the lunar surface later this decade. New spacesuits for a new generation of astronauts.
Yeah, I mean, with the jobs that they're going to be doing, it sounds like if you look at the mission plans, what the long-range goals and plans are for these missions, they're going to need a suit that is capable of doing – we're not just going up there to collect samples and come home. This is building towards, I think, having a manned base on the moon eventually.
Well, and you know, it would be ridiculous, right, to assume that we should have the same technology in spacesuits that we used in the 1960s and 70s when we're going back. Like, things should be a lot better.
Yeah, but the thing about it is most of that stuff, for some reason, and you can go down a conspiracy theory rabbit hole on this deal, like, they destroyed a lot of the plans from everything from the rockets themselves, the engines, all the way down to, you know, the spacesuits. Like, they had a finite number of those. That's why they kind of remember, even with the space shuttle. Spacesuit never really changed from the Apollo mission. It didn't get any sleeker, any less bulky, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're going to have to, Russell, as humankind takes our first steps out into the great unknown, into outer space, as we leave our planet.
All right, there you go. Top 5 at 5 brought to you.
That's
by
how
our
you
friends
do
here
it.
At National RX. We remind you, folks, we'll be out at Craven Wings tomorrow. Big listener watch party. Folks, we need you to show up for this thing. Usually we have a full week to promote these big remotes and watch parties and everything. And we've been trying to hint at this all week without jinxing last night's win. But really, we only have a full day to get ready for it. I know Big John Reed is going to be out there. Looking forward to breaking bread with him this tomorrow. And he was at the one last year, so a lot of good mojo. If you were there last year, we expect you there tomorrow. And if you weren't there last year, we expect you there tomorrow. These things are a lot of fun, and we need some good mojo, and we need to show out for this fan-run sponsor, Craven Wings, locally owned and operated, best chicken wings in the known universe. Now, Bear, I know your position on boneless wings.
They're chicken nuggets.
And you're not the only one that thinks that way. I don't necessarily think you're wrong. I just think you're being derogatory. It's kind of like Waterboy.
Derogatory?
Yeah,
I know.
It's derogatory. It's derogatory.
Telling the truth is not derogatory, Russell. It's called telling the truth. Truth in advertising. It matters.
Well, you can get chicken nuggets there. If they were chicken nuggets, they would call them chicken nuggets. They don't call them chicken nuggets.
They
you
call them
why?
Boneless wings
nuggets,
because
boneless wings.
They sell better as boneless wings. I understand the industry's. The reason folks do it.
Yes.
Corporate greed, man, from the chicken conglomerates.
It's a locally owned and operated company. What are you doing?
It's the chicken conglomerates, like Tyson down there in Arkansas. This all comes from there, buddy.
Is there anything else you would like to crap on our sponsor before we continue?
I'm not crapping on the sponsor. I prefer the bone-in wings. Theirs are fresh, never frozen. They're delicious. I go with the garlic parm, sometimes a little sauce 87.
Unbelievable. I only brought it up to say, I will be ordering the boneless wings because desperate times call for desperate measures, ladies and gentlemen. Have to break out the lucky shirt tomorrow, Bear. Have to do it.
That shirt's got to be protected at all costs. You need to wear a bib while you're eating.
And I can't be handling wings. I got to be extra careful. I mean, there's no guarantee I'm not going to get a stain on it.
Okay, hold on.
With no boneless wings.
Here's the deal. We're showing up early to eat lunch. Strongly encourage everybody. We're going to have a pregame meal. I can't remember what time. You say you're probably going to try and get there between 1:30 and 2, Russ, for a pregame?
1:30-ish.
Yeah, 1:30-ish for a pregame meal. Here's what I suggest.
You guys won't laugh at me if I stick a big napkin in my shirt, Tony Soprano style, while I eat my wings, will you?
I'll go you one better. Just wear a shirt for the pregame meal and then like the team.
Change shirts.
Yeah, go wash up in the bathroom. Make sure you're completely clean.
It's actually not a bad idea.
Get Golden Boy out of the car. Pull it out of its hermetically sealed container that you've been keeping it in now and strap that bad boy on before tip. I mean, the fellas wear the like tank top looking t-shirts for shoot around. I don't see why you can't, you know, wear something, you know, when you're getting in there and getting warmed up with some with a plate of boneless wings and a pitcher.
I've only broken it out twice this year in basketball. Alabama at home and Arkansas at home.
Yeah, you need to bust it out for Duke tomorrow, bro.
2-0. We don't lose when the lucky shirt gets broken out. 865-546-8200, your number to get on board the Drive Fan Run Radio, 546-8200 if you want to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. And let's get back to it. Geraldo is next. What's up, Geraldo?
I've got a message for the boys, Rick and the boys, if you'll allow me, just a small moment of time.
Okay. Oh, we got a Geraldo pep talk. Is that what's about to happen?
Nobody's giving us a chance, sir. Nobody's giving us a chance. What chance do we have? The question is, what choice? Run, hide, plead for mercy, scatter our teammates? You give way to an enemy this evil like Duke with this much power, you condemn the world to an eternity of submission. The time to fight is now. They have no idea what's coming tomorrow. No reason to expect us to win. If we can make it to the ground, we'll take the next chance and the next one and on until we win or our chances are spent. Nobody's believing in us. Nobody. But I believe. I believe in tomorrow. We will show the world. We will show them. We're going on to the next round and the next until we are national champions.
Wow.
I got chills.
Wow.
Chills.
Geraldo with a pep talk for the ages. This afternoon, Barry, I don't know about this national champion stuff. I mean, I dare to dream. I like the dream. The dream shall never die.
But he gave off the same vibe he had when he dropped the Alabama one. That's legendary.
We just got to tear through tomorrow.
Yeah.
How fun is it going to be next week if Tennessee beats Duke tomorrow?
How much fun
we get to do those shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Just foaming at the mouth.
Get on the Fan Run jet Wednesday night to get up to New York City. Concrete jungle that dreams are made of. Be a homecoming for young Tobey Awaka.
wholesome content last night when the UT social media accounts posted the pictures of the team FaceTiming with Sakai after the game. He's not with them down there anymore. He's not on the little tricycle. He's had his surgery. So
yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Does that mean he's had his surgery?
Yes.
Well, good.
Which if he's had it and his incisions are healed up and everything, I wonder if he could potentially join the team in New York next week.
I think he might be able to join them up there. I doubt they're going to let him sit on the bench.
Maybe it's just maybe he's got to stay home and rehab. Anyway, man, I do it for Zakai.
I mean, he could do his rehab wherever the team is. I just think there's a level of when you just had freshly out of the kind of surgery he had, and I mean, guys come flying out of bounds, not going to be able to move real well. That'd be cool if he got to go.
If he does, I'd have him in a safe location.
Yeah, like
for
up
sure.
Up in a box.
He's not going to be able to scramble and get away.
Yeah. I'm sitting up there with Danny. Banner Dan. I choose to believe, hey, Russ.
Why not? What else are you going to do? Just be miserable all day tomorrow? All day today?
No. Doing like our buddy Rog. Rog would be ready to explode right now in excitement for tomorrow.
It's what gets me about guys like Phil in hour number one. We're sitting here wondering what it's going to be like next week if Tennessee wins, and what an enjoyable week that's going to be leading up to those Sweet 16 games.
I mean, he's talking
and
about
Phil's just wondering about like how he's going to rip Rick Barnes and call for his dismissal.
Yeah. And trash
if Tennessee loses,
and trash living, the players.
Not even your fears, just living in self-inflicted, self-imposed misery for no reason. For no reason.
Is he the most miserable, negative person you know?
I don't know, man. I get a lot of texts. My brothers are pretty bad.
Really?
Games, yeah. They go to a dark spot sometimes. One of my brothers, I won't say which one, I'll pull up the text last night. One of them said, defense looks good. This is at 10:05 p.m. Defense looks good. Offense is still bleep. The other brother responds, yeah, it's the bleepiest. And then a few minutes later he says, and I quote, I turned it off. Can't do it.
I mean, I kind of feel like that's on you, man.
Just turned it on. It's not on me.
Yeah, it is. You're their older brother.
Listen, man. They're grown men.
Late now.
My responsibility for them ended years ago. Years ago.
Responsibility. I can only imagine being responsible for your little brothers. It wouldn't be this bitter like that if it hadn't been for you.
Well, that's probably true. I mean, we don't have time to detail the years of psychiatric trauma and damage that I've inflicted upon them, for which they will deal with and pay for the rest of their lives.
I mean, you still dominate them psychologically, correct?
I can be as negative, pessimistic, cynical as just about anybody, but I'm watching the game. I'm not turning the game off.
Huh.
The funniest tweet I got last night, I can't go through and find whoever did this, but it was classic. I tweeted at one point how the game was ate up with dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
When it was ate up with dumbass. And somebody responded to me with the GIF of Robert Baratheon on his deathbed saying, give me something for the pain and let me die. So good.
Guys go to dark places. I didn't get nervous till they got the second half. I figured when they got it down to three, I think that was when I texted you. I was like, we're going to lose on a last second shot and this is going to hurt bad.
I never gave up. I never thought Tennessee was going to lose. I thought it was possible.
It crossed my mind more than once when they went on the big run.
I just didn't think so. Now, tomorrow's a different story. Tomorrow, Tennessee very well could lose. I think they probably will. But that attitude gives me hope because it's so different from the attitude we had a year ago going into the second round. Tennessee was the higher seed. They were on a roll, having won their conference tournament, had played, I think Tennessee won close to 10 games in a row towards the end of last year, and they're playing the much lower seeded team in Michigan. We all expected to win. We wanted to win, and it was going to be bad if Tennessee didn't win, and that was the mentality coming into that game. And I felt like that put a lot of pressure on everybody associated, from the team, the coaches, the players, the fans. And I just don't feel that. I think this is very different. I think without your point guard, I just don't think you can expect to win tomorrow night. And the point spread is a good indication of that. People are expecting Duke to win. So my mentality is, look, it's a close point spread. I think Tennessee can win. I think it's going to be a close game. But I don't see how you can expect to win without Zakai Ziegler. We just have trouble holding on to the basketball and getting decent shots. Defense is there, but we're sloppy with the ball because we don't have point guard. And you can, you know, that's a whole nother conversation about who's to blame for that. But regardless of who's to blame, that's the situation. And with that being the situation, just tomorrow, my expectations aren't high. That, therefore, if Tennessee does pull the upset, and it's a slight upset, right? It's not Mission Impossible. This is not USA against the USSR in 1980 at Lake Placid.
They ain't Alabama.
Exactly. It's not even Tennessee and Alabama last year in football. Like, this is very possible. And if Tennessee does, it's going to be a great triumph. It's going to be a great victory. We'll drink from the keg of glory all night long tomorrow night, and we will come back Monday ready to rock and roll and do it again, because we'll be playing with house money at that point, baby. We might already be there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about football. It ain't Alabama and basketball. We've already faced, you know, arguably the best team in the country and beat them. Jamal Mayshak shut Brandon Miller down. Shut him down. Said, you're not scoring a point when I'm on the floor. You might as well go sit on the bench because you're not getting anything out of me.
865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200. Stay with us. We'll have an update on the baseball game for you when we return, and we'll get back to your phone calls. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Pro attorneys, here's what's going on in the legal world today. Bear, the International Criminal Court said today it has issued an arrest warrant for Russian President Vladimir Putin for war crimes because of his alleged involvement in the abductions of children from the Ukraine.
Lock him up.
Court said in a statement that Putin is, quote, allegedly responsible for the war crime of unlawful deportation of population and that of unlawful transfer of population from occupied areas of Ukraine to the Russian Federation.
Yeah.
He seems like a trustworthy guy, Bear. He'll probably just turn himself in.
He's a really bad guy.
Probably
not
like
a nice
OJ.
Person.
He'll get Al Collins to drive him.
Yeah.
And to turn himself in on his own recognizance, as they say.
Yeah, no. Isn't it recognizance?
I thought the G was silent. No?
Reconnaissance is a completely different word with completely different meaning. Like a reconnaissance mission where you're gathering in information, you get released on your own recognizance.
Oh, ho, ho.
I'm just saying. You ever been released on your own? No, I'm just saying I'm familiar with the word. You get released on your own recognizance. It means you don't have to pay bail. You just get released.
Meanwhile, in Boston, an MBTA rider is accused of threatening fellow passengers with his blank, according to police. Let's see if Bear can guess this one.
Threatening MBTA passengers rider, with his...
That's like the Boston MARTA, I guess. It's public transport in Boston.
Flatulence?
No. Incorrect.
He's spitting?
No. One more try.
Please don't say anything to do with his nether regions?
No.
Okay.
Rider accused of threatening fellow passengers with his pet rat.
Oh, why didn't somebody just stomp that thing?
Police say this isn't the first time he and his rodent have caused problems on the train. Transit police arrested 57-year-old Jeffrey Stewart, a Boston man who they say is, quote, well-known for causing problems with the rat named Jerry. Jeffrey and Jerry causing havoc on the train. He's taken into custody at the Oak Grove T station about 4 p.m. Thursday. Police said he had also been drinking and was being disorderly. Prosecutors said in court today that Stewart was, quote, yelling at patrons and put a rat near their faces. He was arrested after allegedly refusing repeated requests from officers to leave the station. The prosecutor said he threatened to assault and kill the police officers who took him into custody.
I mean, we're talking about Boston, dude. I'm surprised somebody up there, because, you know, odds are you're going to run up against, you could end up doing that to, you know, some maniac Southie character, and they just start bashing your brains in right there, and they don't give a damn about that rat.
What's your reaction if you're on the train minding your own business, some wino comes up brandishing a pet rat?
If he's really going to put a nasty rat near me and, like, putting it up towards my face, I'm probably going to punch him as hard as I can in the middle of his mouth. Like, I have a thing about, I don't like rats. And I've got a very low tolerance for people, you know, just doing something like that. Like if I spot him and he's down the car, I'm probably moving to a different car.
Yeah.
But now if it gets to the point where he's doing it to somebody that's obviously weaker and can't stop him from doing that to him, then, you know, you look around and you may have to stand up for somebody.
You ever have mice or rats in the house?
Once with, like, mice. It lasted about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, we used to have a lot of mice in the house.
At our old house,
in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, and then
I told you about you would find them on the trap still alive, and then, like, what's the humane way to dispose of them?
You remember what I did? No, I don't.
You don't? You don't remember? This was a classic drive conversation.
I've probably blocked it out. Because part of me feels bad for mice.
Yeah, I feel very bad for them. And that's the crux of the issue was I felt, you know, we had this, you know, we were on the edge of the woods, so there are a lot of mice always in the unfinished basement downstairs at the old house. And occasionally they get upstairs. But we had, like, those glue traps, you know?
Yeah, see, those things aren't very – that's where you made your first mistake. You got to get the – you don't do the glue traps.
The snap trap.
Yeah, but they've got the ones now where they're like you don't have to see anything. You just hear it go off, and you can take it, and you throw it in your garbage. It doesn't surprise me because my family member that lived, like, three houses down from you had, like, the biggest serial-killing tomcat ever. And I'm sure the mice were just trying to hide out in your basement from him.
Well, here's the thing. Here's why I'm a better person than you and more humane. You just said the snap trap that you hear it go off and then you throw it in the garbage and forget about it.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I can't forget about him. I'm like Josh Brolin's character in No Country for Old Men, where he finds the money and he goes home and all he can think about is that poor guy in the truck going, agua. And so he takes the water back. He goes out there in the middle of the night, takes him some water, and ends up getting himself in a jackpot, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that, man, because I think about that rat with its broken back, that mouse with its broken back in a trash can just slowly suffocating, and it tears me up inside. I feel like it's inhumane. So what I did... I had this mouse on a glue trap, and they'll try and eat their legs off, you know, to get off that thing.
Good God, Russ.
They do.
Okay. I believe you.
And I took it, and it's still alive, and I put it in a plastic bag, little Kroger bag, you know.
Yeah.
And I took it outside.
Yeah.
And I set it up on the ground.
Yeah.
The driveway. And I took a big old block of wood, and I smashed it.
That's not humane, Russell.
Smashed! It is humane. It's
I thought
over.
You were going to tell me Lights she left out. It out for my sister's crazy cat.
Lights out. Done. It's over. I thought about this very deeply, man. I know you think I'm crazy, but what would you rather have if you're that mouse? Would you rather just have a long, slow, painful death or just boom, you never see it coming, lights out, game over?
That's what that snap trap does. Breaks her neck.
No, it
lights
doesn't.
Off.
No, it doesn't.
Well, they're paralyzed. Okay. They can't feel anything. They're paralyzed, Russ. I don't know.
Okay.
One time I had mice. I think I barred my sister. Just had my sister's cat come live at my house for about a week, and they were gone.
I think my friends here at National RX think I'm a psycho now.
I think your friends that listen to you on the radio are starting to wonder as well.
Casting judgmental glances over here.
I feel like your coworkers here at Fan Run do. Strange bird, Russ.
I feel like it is the right thing to do. I would do it again. I feel like it was the humane thing to do. Can't just go on with my day knowing I've got a living animal suffering in pain in my trash can. Anyway, that's the story of Jerry the Rat up there on the train in Boston.
And what would you do if Jerry the Rat was trying to put a rat in your face?
I don't know, man. I would probably just like try and get as far away as possible. I probably wouldn't be confrontational. I don't want to start a fight with a rat. Like, I don't know if I can win the fight. You don't know if this guy's got a knife. You don't know anything anymore. It's very dangerous. I suppose I would throw hands if I were backed in a corner and that's the only thing. But, or if, you know, somebody was in danger or anything like that. But,
I mean, the whole key, I mean, if you do, and I'm not saying I would, I mean, that's basically what you have to calculate, but if you do, I've always prescribed to the overwhelming force theory of when you get involved in something like that. Maximum damage,
put
them on the
ground. I heard a loud noise
in
White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios when I told you about the block of wood. Was that Jake Miller? Was he laughing or was he?
Oh, he was laughing because he's like soulless.
I think the soul thing to do, the humane thing to do, is to end it as quickly as possible. It's like, have you ever seen the movie of Last of the Mohicans?
No.
Daniel Day-Lewis?
The only thing I know about that is from the trailer of the commercial. I will find you.
You never saw it?
No. That's the best part of the movie.
I will find you. It is a good part. But there's a scene in there where they have to trade one of the soldiers for one of the women to one of the tribe that's going to torture these folks. And, you know, they burn this guy at the stake, basically. Set him on fire. And out of mercy, right? The Mohicans, the guys who are escaping from a distance, he shoots him with an arrow, or maybe even shot him with a gun. Put him out of his misery. That's the phrase, right? You put him out of his misery. I feel like that's what I did for the mouse. As opposed to you, who's going to let it lie there, bleeding, broken, maimed, and suffocating.
No, I mean, all you did was
smashed! Yep.
I mean, I just there's a lot of other things that we don't need to get into. That's one way of doing it. Have you been able to get a look at any of these games?
No, I have not been watching down here.
DJ Jefferson is roughly the size of a river barge.
DJ Jefferson.
DJ Burns.
DJ Burns. Sorry. Sorry, I got him. Convoluted.
I was like, I don't think he's that big. I see him is throwing down dunks in pregame.
No, Burns looks like he could be in the draft to the Baltimore Ravens.
He looks terrible. He looks terrible, and he's slow and lazy. Like you watch him play, and he's just walking out there.
Looks like Zion and Shaq had a baby.
No surprise that he couldn't cut it for Coach Barnes. But if he did have some work ethic to him, I mean, and he could have gotten himself in shape. Because he's got a soft touch and a good feel for the game. He's a good passer, good scorer. If he get in shape, like he might have an NBA future.
Some men you just can't reach.
VolQuest was reporting there is a big man transfer from Wofford.
Yeah, I saw that kid.
Sounded like a pretty nice player. I think he was first team all Southern Conference. I think he led the Southern Conference in scoring during conference play.
Yeah.
Big guy. Like he's one of those big junkyard dog types. Not super long. He's like 6'8", 250.
Can they not fix it? I mean, that's completely asinine that the transfer portal's open for business while the NCAA tournament's going on.
It's kind of like college basketball's version of the NFL, where they're hiring head coaches while the playoffs are going.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, to me, it's almost worse. I mean, at least there you're dealing with
BJ Mack. BJ Mack is the guy's name. He's from Charlotte, 6'8", 245, center / power forward. 6'8", 245.
He's a big one.
Yeah, he's a load. First team all conference, as voted on by both the coaches and media, added a season high in the February 12th matchup against UNC Greensboro. He averaged 16.6 points per game and led the Southern Conference in scoring in conference games, led the Terriers in rebounds with 5.6 per game.
See, a kid like this, Russ, could go to like any number of schools and probably help them go to the Final Four. But we're so snake bit here out of the transfer portal, he'll come here and he'll average like 5 points and a couple of rebounds.
Well, I don't think 16-5 translates to a ton at the SEC level. That's good basketball in the Southern Conference. This is not EJ Anasicki coming from like a D3 school up there.
Right.
Like this guy can play in the SEC. There's no doubt in my mind. But he's not going to average 16-6 for Tennessee. If he comes here and he's a rotational piece along with Adu,
Awaka
and Estrella, then if you can bring him in and he can give you 5 to 8 points a game, 4 or 5 rebounds a game, play solid defense, that I think that's kind of what you're looking for out of a guy like this. Just my opinion. Without having seen him play, just looking at the numbers, looking at his size. And I just, you know, Barnes's track record is so rough with these transfers that I don't know that it's realistic for us to expect him to ever have a guy come in here and just average 20 points a game and be the man. The man next year needs to be Julian Phillips. But assuming he goes, and I'm in the camp that assuming he goes, the NBA drafts on potential, not production. It's going to have to, you know, I think it's going to have to be DeLeon. I think it's going to have to be.
Shoo. I think it's starting to look like it may have to be Jemai Mashak. Is Shaq going to make the – I saw Josh Richardson tweeted something out. He retweeted. Somebody was comparing him to Jay Rich.
Yeah. We've seen that with a couple of special players. Jay Rich, Admiral Schofield, guys who were okay players, just sort of feeling their way through it. And then late in, I think it was for both of them, late in their sophomore seasons.
Yeah.
Which is where Mashak is right now. The light clicked. The switch flipped. The light went on. And they became great players.
That's so, what I'm hoping for with BJ.
Because I think Mashak, BJ, Freddie Buckets, Awaka. I think you got a nice team on paper next year, and maybe not a great team, but a nice team. But they're going to have to find some guys who can put it in the bucket. We got to take a quick break right here, folks. Live today at National RX in Farragut. One more segment coming up next. Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
Yeah.
Run Radio. The Drive continues. Final segment of the show this afternoon. If you want to jump on board, take a shot real quick. Couple lines available, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the program, 546-8200. Tennessee baseball continues to trail this afternoon, 6-1 now as they play in the seventh inning at Missouri. Not a great start. We'll see if Tony V's boys have any magic left in those bats to try and get back in this thing. Tomorrow, listener watch party, Craven Wings, West Knoxville. I'm looking forward to it. These things are always fun. We are undefeated in watch parties at Craven Wings. We will have the keg of glory ready to go. If we win, Bear, it'll be one of those great experiences that we get to share with friends. We'll be hugging and high-fiving, sharing the shared experience of a joyous Tennessee basketball moment together with our brethren and our sisters, our friends, everyone. And if we lose, like, it's better, I always find, to be around like-minded people there, too, because, like, you don't freak out as much, and other people going through the same thing, it makes it a little bit easier to handle, right?
Yes.
So come out, see us. The address, 12350 South North Shore Drive. Just look up Craven Wings Choto, and come out, see us. 2:40 p.m. tip. We'll try and get there early. Bear and I will be having lunch, 1:30-ish. You want to come out, a little pregame meal, pregame beverage, and then 2:40 p.m. We'll have the war paint on, Bear. We'll be ready to go.
Fired up, focused, and prepared, Russell.
Burn the ships. What do we have to lose? It's only the season. 865-546-8200. Westchester is next. What's up, Westchester?
Russell, did I hear you say if, there's no ifs, we're going to beat the hell out of Duke tomorrow. These guys don't know what they're going up against. They're not playing us in the confines of friendly Greensboro. They had to get on the road and actually play an away game. We're going to beat the brakes off of those guys. Final score, Tennessee 75, Duke 12. Go Balls.
You knucklehead. You buffoon. You stooge. What are you doing?
One of his best calls ever.
The things you find amusing.
75, 2, 12. What a clown. It's a good call, Westchester. I was afraid. I was really worried he was going to go negative because it's kind of, I've said it a couple of times, but I really mean it. Like, here's a much shorter leash in the last segment of every show nowadays. You can't come in here and rip and be negative. That last call of the day is hallowed space to me, buddy.
I just don't think this team is capable of winning games that are played in the 70s. Like, I would love to score 75 points tomorrow. I think if we do that, we win. But I think this team's sweet spot to win games is in the high 50s, low 60s. And yeah, that's not aesthetically appealing basketball. I get that.
Who cares? It's tournament time.
Yep.
Survive and advance.
I will take a 49-48 win right now.
I'll take 2-0.
Twice.
I don't care. As long as they put W next to our name and Coach Barnes and the fellas get to go to New York City next week.
Yeah, you don't get style points this time of year. Duke is a better defensive team than they are offensive team. They're, man, like the car's saying, they're a lot like you, man. They're a lot like us. Dangerous type. 40th overall adjusted offensive efficiency, 15th in defensive efficiency.
Well, this has the potential to be a real rock fight kind of game.
Tennessee, after last night, we've actually fell to 62nd in offensive efficiency. We were 49th last night. So I guess that's what scoring 58 against Louisiana will get you all those turnovers.
God, the throwing him out of bounds when Awaka wasn't looking. Unlike the last game, those weren't fouls, Barnes. Those were turnovers. Miscues.
Those were turnovers, yes. That was nobody to blame but yourself.
They just were not on the same page at all. I think if we had Ziegler last night, we beat that team by 22. They would have never gotten close. Because he would have controlled the flow.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I said it at halftime yesterday. One of the great regrets, assuming this team doesn't shock us all and go to the Final Four, assuming that, you know, we lose sometime before then, whether it's tomorrow or next weekend, it's just, I'll always wonder what this team would have done with Zakai Ziegler. And I know that Negaval's out there saying, well, we were having some bad games and he had some bad games and all this stuff. Yeah, but there's no denying that our best moments this season, beating Kansas, beating Alabama, beating Arkansas, beating Texas.
Yeah.
Those biggest wins is when Zakai Ziegler, I know he's out against Arkansas, but you know, Texas, Alabama, Kansas, three top 10 wins, and Ziegler played well in all those games. And I don't think it would have been as sloppy. I think we would have controlled them, and I do think we would have hammered them last night with Ziegler out there. And I think our chances tomorrow would be a lot better. I don't think we don't have a chance tomorrow, but if we had Ziegler out there to kind of control things and harass the other point guard, I mean, it would be a lot easier. That's all I'm saying. But we don't, and we must move forward, ladies and gentlemen, and we will do it. We will.
Hey, Russ.
We will do it. The dream will never die. Yes, Bear, quickly.
I've just got to interject here. We just had a phone call from your boy, your buddy Martin. Could you repeat the kid from Wofford's name for Martin?
B.J. Mack, I believe, is that young man's name.
B.J. Mack.
And, Bear, we got to run. Appreciate you, buddy.
See you tomorrow, man.
Thank you to Logan, Crumble Cookies, National RX, Jets Pizza for hooking it up today. Great show, great week. Craven Wings tomorrow, folks. We want to see you out there. Just Google Craven Wings. Chodo will be out west. Tip-off is at 2:40. We're going to get there early to eat, hang out, have fun, watch games, and get the keg of glory ready. Have a great weekend. For Bear, I'm Russell. Overtime coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.